Welcome to Real Talk on Vicarious Trauma and Compassion Fatigue, where I speak about my firsthand experience as a trauma professional who provides psychological support to those of you with tough jobs. My name is Taryn Hughes. I'm a compassion fatigue therapist and also the founder of New York City-based Forest Hughes and Associates. Let's dive in. This episode is part of a series entitled How This Work Changes Us, composed of short vignettes describing this unique experience of working in helping or protecting profession. We'll explore the multitudes of subtle ways that serving others has shifted our physical and mental states, as well as how we perceive and relate to the world. To date, I've worked with thousands of professionals across sectors such as law enforcement, social services, education, healthcare, emergency services, human trafficking, international peacekeeping, and law. I would like to thank all of my participants and attendees for their great contribution to society, and also for their straight from the gut, real talk about the honest impact these career paths have had on them. Much of what you hear is a composite of our shared experiences across sectors, states, and across national borders. My hope is that our words may help you make sense of your experience, provide you some comfort in knowing you're not the only one, and offer a bit of hope and a way forward. You've got to read on people like no other. This is both a gift and a curse. We're going to talk about both sides today. But first, I want to plant a seed for the fact that there is a reason why you can read people like no other. Why is that? If you work in a position where you see the extremes of human nature, so you see their best sides and their worst sides, and it goes beyond what someone in the everyday public would be exposed to. So you step onto a shift, and if the everyday public has, let's say, a foot wide sliding scale of the best and the worst of human nature that they'll see within a lifetime, let's double or triple that capacity for you, because when you step on a shift, the chances that you're going to see something that's outside the norm, and not just outside the norm, but way out to left field, right? Like, these are just way off the charts, extreme situations that you step into and you see, not in the span of a lifetime, but we're talking in the span of a shift. So double or triple the capacity, what people will see in a lifetime, and you see that in sometimes less than 8 hours. That's why you have a read on people like no other. Let's bounce back to regular everyday life. You step into a situation, let's say you're with your loved ones or your friends, you step into a social situation, you meet a new person, and something's not sitting right for you. You can't be at ease with this person, because whether you're picking up on some mannerisms that are communicating something that that person is unconscious of, or you're seeing a disconnect between what they're saying and what their physical body is communicating, or maybe you understand something about that person in what feels like a more abstract way, but is actually validated because you have seen people like this before. And maybe your friends and your family and your loved ones haven't, because they've lived a much more protected life in a way. There's a sweet naivete in some of the people that you love, and that's beautiful. I really look at some of the people in my life and I think, wow, there's something so sweet about not knowing that some of the worst things in the world exist, that it really is a blessing to live within the confines of, let's say, that 1 foot sliding scale, like I mentioned before. But I want to advocate for the fact that living in our expanded capacity is also a gift. It's really hard to see the worst sides of humanity, but I tell you what, it is really beautiful to see the best sides of humanity that counterbalance that. So let's bounce back to the social situation. You're getting a read on someone. It's not sitting well with you. Maybe you try to drop a little hint to the people that you're with. And sometimes you might be more direct and actually say, hey, something's off with this person. It's so hard in that position because when you see what others cannot yet see, we're often going to encounter pushback. So some of that pushback, without them meaning to, can invalidate what their senses are and our perceptions. And they can also look at us like we're the crazy people. Like, what's the problem? This person seems great. They seem outgoing, X, Y, Z. So we're really then locked into our own experience, and we might either question, is it me? Am I reading too much into this? Maybe they're fine. Or sometimes that sense of isolation and separation that can set in so much when we work in one of these professions, and we'll continue to talk about this through the episodes, but there's this weird separation that happens because what you're seeing and sensing is not being seen and sensed by the people around you. So it's almost as if you're living in a different parallel reality. We have a choice. We can speak up. We can remain silent. We can remove ourselves from the situation. We could try to convince or educate the people in our life. We could try to get them to trust our instincts and also understand that it's there for their best interest. I would just ask you, how do you want to use your time, energy, and resources? What I came up with recently was this sense of, what if we accept our unique position and that we understand that we might be having a lifetime of wisdom that's been accrued in a shorter time frame. So what I mean by that is, if we look to people who are older and wiser, who've lived maybe twice as many decades as we have, it took them, let's say, 80 years to get to that point where they've seen so much of life and humanity. But what if we realize that what makes us separate in these situations also is what contributes to us being in a unique position, both for ourselves and others? My thought was to hold this sense of wisdom, and I find that many wise people are often very quiet about their observations, and hold this sense of wisdom with inside of ourselves, honoring the fact that because we see this wide breadth of humanity every day on the job, that it's really quite possible for us to have accrued the wisdom and level of perception that someone may have taken twice as long to accrue, or three or four times as long to accrue. And I wonder if you can stand in confidence in this wisdom and deep knowing and operate from that space instead of feeling shut down, silenced, strange, or different than others. Those of you who help or protect others for a living, you're my people. The people who run towards crisis or face human suffering when others turn away. Take a moment to sign up for my email list to receive free invites to roundtables where we can discuss the nuances of compassion fatigue and vicarious trauma, and also receive free discounts available only to my direct community. These won't be posted on social media, so sign up today at foresthughes.com. Here's my call to action. Please start the discussion in the comments section below and share this podcast with your colleagues so that we can start breaking the silence and isolation. As always, please demonstrate academic integrity by clearly citing myself and my company if you share or teach anything derived or inspired by this episode, as one brief concept is typically representing the distillation of hundreds of hours of instruction and study in this field. Until next time, thank you for listening and taking part in a global movement to protect the mental health of our frontline workers.